Thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts Radio again this week. Last week, if you tuned in, we were talking about Tara's new study on why we should study the Bible about the foreigner, stranger, aliens, and sojourner. And we talked last time also about the five ethics of hospitality, and we were talking about Abraham and the three visitors in Genesis 18, 1 through 10. And we also found out about his beautiful example of love of God to these visitors and how hospitable he was. So we're going to continue on and find out more about physical needs and serving others.
Yeah, I love it. This is such a good study. Okay, want us to remember that we're actually with this one. We'll look at how Abraham provides us the beauty of practicing his presence, meaning God's presence, in serving visitors. That every moment, according to the Middle Eastern hospitality ethic, was considered sacred. It was viewed as holy, and that every interaction with a person was considered holy. And we learn a lot by how the different narratives unfold in the way that they treated people, whether or not they were honoring what they had as a ethic within their community. We definitely see with Abraham that he gets it. And that's the beauty of this particular story. And I chose this one because, honestly, Abraham models all five of the ethics incredibly. Mm-hmm. And so we'll look at that. And so let's start with reading this story, Genesis 18, 1 through 10. Sandy, do you want to read it?
Sure. This is NIV. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your own way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd, selected a choice, tender calf, and gave it to a servant, who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him.
Thank you. May God honor the reading of his word. So what we have to see is that, okay, we're learning about how he would have treated them and the heart of practicing God's presence. And this narrative shows us why they believed that it was possible that in every interaction, it's possible that God might show up. Because we see in the example here that the Lord showed up with Abraham. Now, Scripture tells us, you guys, that no one has ever seen the face of God. Mm-hmm. And yet here we're told, that in this passage, it is the Lord that has appeared to him. And Exodus 33:20. Carrie, would you go and turn to that one and read it for us? Sandy, I want you to read John 1:18. And let's just see a couple of scriptures that talk about the face of God. Because in this passage, we're told he actually gets to have an interaction with the Lord. So go ahead, Carrie.
Exodus 33:20. "But he said, 'You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live.'"
Okay, and then go ahead.
Okay, John 1,
18.
"No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made known to him." Okay. Made him known, excuse me.
Good. So what we have to understand is that this is not God the Father. This is Jesus
the Lord.
And they call it a pre-incarnate visit. And so it's an actual visitation of the Lord to Abraham. And the commentators, Bible Knowledge Commentary, points out that As we're observing his hospitality, and it's really fun that they say this because that's the point of this particular Bible study, that this passage is actually showing us God's hospitality towards Abraham. We're looking at it to see how Abraham behaves, mm-hmm. but if we think about it, it's God showing how he is hospitable, mm-hmm. that he makes promises, mm-hmm. and he completes them, mm-hmm. and so showing us to allow us to see the beauty of who God is, and that is the reason why they were hungry for the presence of God, and the fact that he's fulfilling the promise. I have some things I want us to say about Sarah. We'll just bring this up right here because I know that inquiring minds want to know, because we're talking about the hospitality, whereas this is where Sarah is finding out that she's going to have a baby and she's waited forever.
Yeah, and how old is she now? She's in her 80s, right?
She's up there with him as well. You know, yeah. they are older. Now, there is a process of time that happens here, and I had not caught this until I think it was the Bible Knowledge Commentary. They said you have to recognize some things that have happened. One, when Abraham talks to the visitors and he goes to Sarah, he says, Sarah, I want you to prepare these things. And Sarah goes about to prepare the food. But when Abraham goes to deliver the food, it would have been custom that the wife would have been serving.
Hmm. Oh, that makes sense, I guess.
They asked, where is Sarah?
Oh, that's why they asked. Yeah, that's why they asked.
It is not because they need to know. It is because, because God wants Abraham to know the fulfillment's happening. Because the reason why is spoken through, and people of their culture would know this, but we don't catch this. When he says, she is in the tent, that was their polite, custom way of saying, she is in her cycle.
Mm.
Now, what did we just say about their age?
Yeah, she shouldn't be having one.
She would no longer be having her cycle.
Right.
So he goes to the tent, Sarah, I want you to prepare the food for them. She gets about the business of preparing the food. He goes down to the servant and says, you need to prepare the calf. He gets back up there. Sarah can't go out
because
Sarah just started her cycle.
Right, not clean, yeah.
They are pointing out to him, even as we speak, the miraculous is happening, because she couldn't get pregnant if she was not having her cycle.
True.
And so they're, okay, ding, 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 Abraham, pay attention. Do you realize what has just happened? You need to see what's happening, Abraham. Like, they're bringing to his attention that God is taking care of the science.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is that not the coolest?
Okay, like, so when she's laughing, is this before that started?
It's after.
Oh, that's what I would think, too. But, you know, that'd be thinking, pretty funny to think that.
Because, you know, like, she's just thinking, oh, it's just a fluke. You know, I'm old. Oh, great. Now here it is again. She doesn't know the science. Do you know, like, we do today.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be apparent that she wouldn't have had it for probably 30 or 40 years?
Oh, it would have been a long time, because the menopause typically starts in the 50s.
Yeah.
And is. Yep. Finished in the 60s, and so by 80, that's long gone, gone. And so this is God revealing to him. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
And it's like, I have never, ever caught it. And so I want us to see how God is being communal with Abraham. Mm. Do you realize he wants a relationship? Mm-hmm. He loves him so much. He's chosen him to be the father of many nations. He's promised him this land. He's promised him his son. And he's going to do it in such a way that he gets to enjoy the surprise and the dialogue. Mm. Do you see how much he loves him and how he wants to be in fellowship with him? God was communal with Abraham. Mm. And if God was communal with Abraham, what does that say to us?
He wants to be communal with us also.
Yeah. Mm. And so when we get a chance and we do see interactions in Scripture of God having a conversation with somebody, we need to look at that Scripture through the lens of God's hospitality towards us. Mm. Does God call us into community? Yes, but he is also willing to be communal with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, it just profoundly impacts me. It gives me tears in my eyes as I think through this, because it's just amazing.
I think that's his greatest desire, besides saving everybody. And with that relationship, that's how you're saved.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And Volvard and Zuck said, is it possible that this question was what prompted Abraham to realize what God was about to do? You just kind of think on it. It's like, okay, that's awesome. All right, so where is Sarah? You know?
Hiding so out.
You think, that, oh, that's no big deal. Now, okay, they had to be communal. We see that Abraham's being communal. We see that the Lord is being communal. I love the fact, what is another way that we see the Lord's communal? He comes and he bows before them. Stay. Rest. Let me make you some food. Let me give you some water.
Abraham's hospitality.
Yeah. Well, hold on. How did the Lord respond?
Do what you said you're going to
do. Yeah. Yep. He's accepting it.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? He's willing to stay because what he's offering is not fast. This is not drive-through.
That's what I was struck by. Like, you get the calf and the cat.
I know. That takes a
while.
Kneading
the bread and making the bread. That takes a long time. And how long it would take to prepare a calf? Like, hours, right? It would be. Yeah.
Did it say in there? I can't remember it.
It's not like you just throw a sandwich together.
Yes. It is
okay,
the best calf.
I didn't. I'm sure it was. I just didn't remember it saying.
But what does that teach us about God's hospitality with us? That he's willing to be communal. He's willing to be physically present. He's willing to have a conversation. And he's willing
to give us
to
the best.
Wait.
Mm.
He is willing to wait.
Yeah.
So that we can serve him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
How beautiful is that?
Yeah.
When I was reading this, it reminded me, and I can't remember what the verse is in Ezekiel, but there is a verse that says that the priest will go to the table and they will minister to him. Mm-hmm. And it's talking about when the priest would go into the Holy of Holies and they would place the bread, the offering, on the table, that it's ministering to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking in how he's willing to sit and wait that we may. And it is actually a good thing for us to pray, Lord, let me know how to minister to you.
Mm-hmm.
What in my preparations as I serve others?
How can I serve you?
That I am serving you. Mm-hmm. What might that look like today? What might that look like in each interaction? What might that be? That as I do this, as Sandy comes into every single radio show, I'm going to brag on you, Sandy. Mm-hmm. She always comes offering us food, gifts, always. And because it's Valentine's week, we have a beautiful little bag of chocolates. And that her way of serving is that she is every time, okay, God, what can I do today? What can I take to them? And she processes that because she knows that as she ministers to others, that she is ministering to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's her way of giving a love offering. It's not a tithe. It's not required. Mm-hmm. It's not an expectation, but it is a love offering.
Mm-hmm. And I always remember people saying, you can't outgive God, and that is so true. You can't. He gives so much much back.
Mm-hmm. He does. And so they believed not only were you to be communal, but you were to be sacrificial and generous. They were supposed to be generous as God is generous towards us. Mm. God had time to sit and wait. To receive. That one speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Ever feel too busy just to be there with somebody?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sadly, it's true.
Yeah, it's just so easy. I think one of my greatest privileges I have is that I get to be with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like being with people.
Yeah. Like, in whatever capacity and how, in whatever form they bring, it's just that if somebody allows you to be in their world, that's a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
It is a privilege. And so that's one of the blessings, I think, of what God has called me to and serving with others. Okay, so they're called to generosity. Now, this is going to absolutely crack you guys up. So this three sayas of bread, guess what? That is the equivalent of 20 to 36 pounds of bread.
That's over generous. Wow.
That's a morsel of bread. Yeah. For sure. That's definitely.
Is that hilarious?
Morsel.
That is the equivalent of 20 to 36 wow. pounds of bread. When I read that, I was like, are you kidding me? Now, what you have to understand, you guys, a calf, one calf, and he said the best calf, one calf was the equivalent of one man's food ration for an entire month.
Oh, I'm sure.
So one calf for three men and 20 to 36 pounds of bread. Was he intending that they were the only ones that would eat it? Or is it possible that Abraham would have allowed everybody within his community to come in and join in? We don't know, because it does not tell us. The theologians say, you know, Scripture tells us when he serves them, he stands and watches. But it doesn't tell us that if everybody else came. The fact that they ask where Sarah kind of gives us the implication that maybe everybody else was present. But they don't know. They do not know. So we don't know if it was just Abraham and the three, or if everybody came in and was partaking as well. We don't know, because it doesn't say. But it kind of makes you wonder. Either way, it screams generosity. Because he didn't have to prepare that much for three, and he didn't have to prepare that much for the community. So whichever way it actually was, either way, it shouts that he was a man of generosity. Incredible, right? Like, I'm just like, oh, wow. Now, I want you to think on the sacrifice of what that might look like. How is that so sacrificial? Three sayas.
Well, the you don't just go buy flour at the store. There's a lot of work involved in preparing, you know, growing, preparing the flour, preparing the wheat to make it flour, growing the calf, using the best calf. I mean, these are all
it takes a long
big
time.
Things.
They would have to have harvested for a long time of following to get three sayas. This is not a short process in any way, shape, or form. And the fact that, like, it's in the grain form, it's still a long ways from. So time is a huge factor. So sacrifice was known by time, talent, treasure, food, and lodging. That is how sacrifice was determined. So you need to come back next week, because we're going to talk a little bit more on how the sacrifice was made known and how he showed that he was willing to be communal, generous, and sacrificial as he served the Lord. Looking forward to it. God bless.